enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today.
Our sermon passage for today comes from the letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. So I don't know how you guys feel about Paul, but sometimes I love him, and sometimes I don't. This is one of those times where I really love him. As I was reading this passage, I just kept thinking, that'll preach. That's good. Which I'm glad I worked with the English version, because I don't know. So Paul likes to do run-on sentences in Greek where it's really complicated to figure out what Paul's trying to get to. But this passage reminds me that there needs to be grace for him too, and that grace does abound. I think this passage was important to me this week, the idea that grace abounds. Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound more? The answer is obviously no. But as I was thinking about this week, and I'm kind of skipping ahead in my mind a little bit, but do you ever just have those sermons where you need to preach to yourself? I think Fred's the only one that's preached here other than me right now. But there's weeks where you just need to hear something. And so I'm sorry if this doesn't do anything for anybody else, but this is a sermon that I need, so I'm going to preach it boldly, I hope. I was reminded by a friend last night that she's like, my friend Annie was like, you're preaching on grace tomorrow. You need to give yourself grace as well, because these last couple weeks have been pretty busy with school and with all the work that comes with it. So I was kind of freaking out last night until she reminded me, grace abounds. And so that phrase, I realize I keep saying that, but that phrase wasn't exactly in here. Just before this passage that I read, and I think it's 5:20, so just right before chapter 6 starts, Paul goes on to say, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That's where I'm playing with the idea that grace abounds, that where there is sin, there is grace that is greater. Grace that is greater than all our sin. But so Paul starts us off. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? Translators in different versions of the Bible will translate this different ways. Some will say, by no means. Others will say, of course not. One translation says, may it never be so. I like that they do it in so many different ways, but they're still getting to the point of what Paul is saying. One of my professors in college told me that this is how he translates this verse. The word that Paul uses that is translated by no means is the Greek word meganoito, which my professor says can best be summed up as followed. What? Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Obviously, the answer is no here. I understand why the Bible chose to not use that translation, because it's a little wordy. But that's what Dr. Malice used to say that word got to. What then shall we say? Shall we sin more that grace may abound more? To which Paul just looks at them and says, are you nuts? Of course not. The answer is obviously no, Romans. So how can we who have died to sin go on living in it? We've been baptized into Jesus Christ and in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, for those that know me well, know that I love the sacraments. 2 weeks ago in class at ENC, Jeff Barker was talking about different groups of Nazarenes, and he goes, yeah, there's the group of sacramental Nazarenes. And he looked directly at me. And so I believe that baptism is an important thing. It is the entry into the church. It is our marking of, or the mark in which we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is when we are made members, full members, into the body of Christ. And so while it does all that, and it is very sacramental, and it does point to the graces of God, there's also a lot of symbolism that does go with it. So when we're baptized, people are baptized in different ways. Some are immersed, some are sprinkled, and some are poured. But they all connect, and they all can use the same analogy of being buried with Christ. And if we're immersed in it, we are literally dunked into the water. We're literally put into the grave, and we're buried there. We have died. But then we are raised back to life. If we were poured on or sprinkled in the ancient world, for those that could not afford a like legit tomb, they would take sand and dust and they would pour it on them in order to help preserve the bodies better until they could be done away with properly. So even then, it's still the mark of dying and being, having death be put on. But then they also get up and they walk again after being baptized like that. So we are buried with Christ and we are raised with Christ to a new life. If we are living our life in Christ, how are we to go on about purposefully sinning just so that grace may abound more? That's not how it works. We can't do that. And so although we do not continue on in purposeful sin, or as John Wesley would say, a sin so properly called, we do still fall. We do still stumble. We do still sin improperly called. We live in a sinful world, and so there are times where we are part of a sinful system. But we're not going out and purposefully sinning. We are doing all that we can by the grace and power of God to live into that grace. And so that when we do stumble and when we do fail, we know that grace abounds because we find our life in Christ and we know that we are not found in sin because we are dead to sin. We also know the end of the story and we know that death has died and that sin has been defeated. We know that by the power and glory of the resurrection of Christ from the dead, death has got a taste of its own medicine. It's been defeated. So we are not to live a life of death and sin, but rather a life in Christ. Part of Galatians 2:20 says, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." We allow the infilling of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live Christ-like lives as we remember that grace wins. There's one of the rings I wear on this hand is just a small, simple ring, and it has that verse on it. And I've always known that I wanted to use this in a sermon one day. I just never knew when I would get to, so I'm glad that day is today. I've lost this ring countless times. One time I was at Camp Sebago. It was the opening day of camp, and we were doing messy games like shaving cream and water and baby powder and all sorts of stuff like that was super messy. And it's a huge camp with a lot of land and a lot of acreage. And my ring slipped off, and I lost it. And I was like, well, there goes that. A couple hours later in the dining hall, somebody comes up to me. They're like, Brent, I was walking and I stepped on something. Is this your ring? And I was like, oh, yeah, it is. I'd like to say that was the first time I lost that ring. Or no, that was the first time I lost it. I'd like to say that was the last time. I think I lost it two more times that summer, to which people kept finding it. At one point, it was in Sebago Lake. I guess when I was swimming, it slipped off and somebody found it amongst the rocks later. They're like, this is yours, isn't it? Yes, it is. I think the most interesting time was back in the summer of, I think it was the summer of 15. I went to London and I went to Ireland and Northern Ireland. As I was going through the airport in Dublin, my ring fell off and I lost it and I couldn't find it. Now that was in Dublin, Ireland. I ended up getting home to Virginia, and I hung out with my parents for a little while, and a day or two later, I flew back to Kansas City, and I was there. And so I started unpacking my bag and unpacking my suitcase, and apparently it fell into just the right crack in the suitcase that it traveled with me from Dublin, Ireland back to Kansas City on about four or five different flights. And so I often think God's trying to remind me that, Brent, you have died to sin and that you are alive in Christ. It is no longer you that lives, but it is Christ who lives within you. And so it's a small, simple reminder of that, where if I couldn't get away from the fact that I have to live a life of Christ, even though I lost this in Dublin, Ireland, it still found me halfway around the world. That sticks with me, that's what we're to do. We are to live a life that is united with Christ. Because Christ lives within us, we are to live within Christ. We are united with Christ. In baptism, we are anointed with oil afterwards to mark that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and that we have been made members of the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ. And so it means that we are united. We are invited into his life. So what does that mean that we're united with Christ? Well, I think it means that our lives are to resemble his. It means that he is living through us. Therefore, our lives should look something like his did. In some ways, it means that we are little Christ here on earth today. The name Christian literally comes from the term little Christ. When Christians were first called Christians, it was because people looked at them and said, oh, they're little imitators of that guy they call Christ. We are to be little Christ running around the world today. When people come into contact with us, they should come into contact with the risen Christ. Now, I don't say this because we are in and of ourselves anyways great or mighty or godlike or anything crazy like that. But I say that because we have been united with Christ and that Christ shines through us and that Christ is able to be seen in us from others. That when they look to us, they do not see our own selves living out the way we want to live, but rather they see Christ living and shining through us. It means that when we extend grace, mercy, peace, kindness, and love to others, it is as if Christ is extending those things to them. It is the work of Christ here on earth. Jeff Barker and Phil LaFountain reminded me of this a couple weeks ago in class, that the verse in Matthew where it says, what you bind and loose on earth has been bound and loosed in heaven. The tense of those verbs are, though, what you bind and loose on earth, they have been bound and loosed in heaven. They have already been. You are living into the will of God when you do what Christ would do. And so when we extend grace, it's not that we are that we're making God give grace, but rather we're just living into the grace that God already gives. We're hoping to do the work of Christ here on earth as we go about imitating Christ and letting Christ shine through us. We do what Christ does because we are no longer living to ourselves, but living to Christ as Christ lives to God the Father. I think that's important for us as we think about what it means as we live our lives and as we interact with others. So if it's okay, I'm going to talk about something slightly controversial, but it shouldn't be. So I don't know how many of you are active on social media, but there's been a lot of, I don't know, hootenanny, I don't know, some word like that. There's been a lot of fuss over a ministry that the Church of the Nazarene has. So at General Assembly, there's what's called an exhibitors hall. And they put up a bunch of booths from all different things, whether it be the Nazarene Foundation, which John Twitchell was working, or whether it be one of our schools like ENC or Point Loma, whether it be, you know, just all different sorts of ministries. One of the ministries that is there is a ministry from Trinity Family Midtown, Church of the Nazarene, located in Midtown, Kansas City. The ministry is called Love Wins LGBT. And a lot of people, without asking what it was about, went to social media to make fun of it, to call it blasphemy, to call the pastors horrible sinners, and that was the polite term that people were using. And it made me think of this, about the idea that where there is sin, grace abounds more, and shall we sin more that grace may abound more. People looked at this ministry and looked at this booth and they were like, they're saying they should sin more. Like, they're trying to be graceful, but really they're calling for more sin. Which is ironic because it's sad that that's not what the ministry is about at all. The ministry is about reaching a lost people and calling them to a life of holiness by extending grace and peace and mercy to them. But because of the way that it looked, people jumped to a certain conclusion. Even though that they are fully in line with the stance of the Church of the Nazarene, they have had more than one occasion where the Board of General Superintendents have said, we approve this ministry and we are thankful for it. People looked at it and they jumped to the idea that grace, that by extending grace somehow that means that we had to allow sin to continue. There is even a president of a school from one of our sister denominations who went on Facebook and just spit just utter acid and despicable things about this ministry. He came at it with such vitriol and just completely misrepresented what the ministry was, to the point where it's gotten over a couple hundred shares and thousands of comments. Yet he's not even in Kansas City and he never spoke to them about what the ministry was about. He looked at them and saw, oh, this is what I see. I guess they're calling for sin to abound. But really, I think if any of the leaders were here today, I think what they would say is that they're seeking to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to a specific community to remind them that they are loved eternally by our very great God and that they are called to a life of holiness, as are we. They are seeking to extend grace. And unfortunately, some have thought that by extending grace that they are also encouraging sin. But when asked, are you encouraging them to sin? Their answer would be, meganoito, by no means. And so I was disheartened this week a little bit by some of the ways that some things were responded to and interacted this week. But I was reminded that grace abounds. That we are called to grace, but that living in grace does not mean we sin so that somehow we might get more grace. But rather, we have been so touched and so moved and so brought into the life of Jesus Christ that we cannot help but to live gracefully and to put sin aside. Called unto holiness. That's the slogan of the Church of the Nazarene. That's who we are, called unto holiness. And part of holiness is living a life of grace, but refusing sin, calling sin out for what it is, and saying, where there was sin, grace abounds more. Leave the life of sin and live into this life of grace and live into the life where you are acknowledging that you are a loved child of God. Because this is what that ministry is trying to do, is just to remind people, God loves you. Let's walk alongside God. So may we live into the grace and the holiness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? God, we live in an age where extending grace can sometimes look like we're encouraging sin. Sometimes we jump to conclusions. Sometimes we think people are doing something a certain way, when in reality, that's not the case. God, I was reminded of this many times this week as I'm young and naive and I'm good with Facebook. And there were times when I wanted to not be filled with grace. But then I remembered, God, that grace is for all. That you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son, not just for me, not just for those that think like me or those that I like, but that you sent your Son for the world. For God so loved the world. God, may we be a people that do not live into sin more, so that we might somehow get more grace as if that's how it works. But rather, God, would we see the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, his life and his death, his burial and his resurrection, his ascension, his mediation between you and humanity, and may we live into that grace. God, may we be a grace-filled people. That even when there are people we disagree with, that we don't say, we do not minister to you because you're wrong, but rather that we say, you are a loved child of God. Let us walk together on this journey. Let us explore the truth and let us find out what it means to live a life of holiness as we worship and serve our great God. God, if I misspoke at any point in this sermon, or if there was anything that I did that was not the way it should have been done, would you help me to live into the grace that you give me? God, as our church moves forward in our general assembly, would you help us to be a grace-filled people? Both towards one another and to those that we would consider others. both is both to those within our own tribe and to those that we disagree with theologically, those who we disagree with on any number of things. Would you help us to be a grace-filled people? Lord, we love you, and we thank you that you are a God of great grace, a grace that is greater than all our sin. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.